everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I cannot believe it. There is another excess heat warning.
It's not a heat warning yet. They're calling it a heat watch.
Oh, heat watch.
And it's scheduled to begin on the 9th, as I recall.
I thought we had put some of that in in the rearview mirror.
September 9th, 10 in the morning, it's going to start, and then end September 10th, the next day at 8 p.m.
I am ready for the cooler weather.
We have been ready for that.
Ready for that all summer. It is Wednesday. It's September the 6th, 2023. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line, 790-2040, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we welcome you to join us on the live line at any point during the hour with your comments on our program today. The program today features our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. Internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve, or at least help to solve, our healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts the podcast Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or find her at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. And the topic that we are going to discuss in the first half of the program is a very difficult one for many people. 90% of people, Dr. Mazes, say talking with family about end-of-life care is important, yet only 27% start this conversation. And that's too bad, because talking about death, I believe, is the first step to dying well. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. And I have to say, one of the things that you have really inspired me, and I know many, many others, is your willingness to speak publicly about the loss of Anne, your wife of 50 years?
51 years of marriage, 56 years since we met on the University of Arizona campus in a radio and TV class, ironically. Anne thought it was going to be an easy elective course, and she knew nothing about radio or TV, but she learned, and the good news is we were married 5 years later. And I have to tell you, Dr. Mazes, and I think a lot of my listeners and people following me on Facebook know, it was a storybook love, a love affair that took us to more than 100 countries, every American state, half of the Canadian provinces. The storybook turned into a major challenge, the major challenge of our lives in early June, when we learned that Anne had advanced cancerous tumor. So the next 10 weeks, to say the least, were extremely difficult, but at least we were together. Then on Sunday, August the 13th, things were about to get even more challenging as Anne woke up with a major, massive stroke. Amazingly, Dr. Mazes, the stroke did not impact her cognitive ability. She spent 3 nights at TMC and then 1 night at Pepe's house, the hospice, before passing on Thursday, August the 17th. Anne was an amazing, kind, loving person. She didn't deserve this misfortune, but in her usual stoic manner, tried to make the best of it. Anne loved to say, "It is what it is." And so that's where we are right now.
So, of course, my heart goes out to you, as I'm sure all your listeners, for this tremendous loss. And I'm so sorry. I have appreciated your willingness to talk about this. And I think it's wonderful that you're bringing it up with the listeners, because as you said, many people aren't willing. Were you and Anne able to talk about death, or did you know what each other wanted in end-of-life care?
You know, we had gone ahead, we had advanced directives, and but nothing really prepares you for that moment when the doctor tells you that you have an inoperable cancer and there's really very little that can be done, and we can get into some of those choices that people face. But I do want to say, Dr. Mazes, and I know you're probably wondering and my listeners are wondering, why I am being so transparent about what happened to Anne and what's happening to me. I quickly want to give three reasons. The first one, hug the one you're with. In other words, don't take anyone or anything for granted and try to, as best you can, live in the moment. Tell the ones you love that you love them. Just don't put it off. Say it now. Second, get your affairs in order. You don't have to wait for a terminal illness to start your end-of-life paperwork and sharing it with loved ones. Sharing it with loved ones is a valuable way to get talking about this subject that many feel so uncomfortable with. And lastly, Dr. Mazes, sharing my experience on social media is helping me. It's helping me navigate these very choppy waters of deep grief.
Yeah, there's so much in there. I so agree with you. I think letting people know how much we care about them on a regular basis is just a wonderful life practice. But when you talk about getting your affairs in order and having an advance directive, you know, not everybody knows what that is. Can you kind of describe what yours was? Because there are some different forms, mostly available for free, often something that people want you to have when you're admitted to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They want you to have an advance directive. But what was your experience?
Well, there are a couple of things to keep in mind here. One is I would suggest everyone have a power of attorney. Now, this doesn't necessarily impact the health issues. This would impact someone, perhaps they have dementia, they're not able to keep a checkbook, but it's very important that you have someone in a legal document that is the person who will be the power of attorney, the person that will be able to write those checks for you. Then there's the health care directive. Do you want health providers to keep you alive at any cost? We're talking about being on machines and on it goes. Or do you, at the end of your life, believe that you don't want that and you want to end your life with dignity and not die on a machine? Then there's something very important, Dr. Mazes, called a mental health power of attorney. This is another directive that you need to have in your portfolio. Everyone should have either a will or trust. It's one of those things. We don't like to talk about death, so we kick the can down the road and we don't get our affairs in order. But those are the three major items.
So again, thank you for being willing to share how important these are. There's actually a special power of attorney, which is called a durable health care power of attorney. So there's one that really is very focused on what do you want done if you can't make decisions for yourself? Because sometimes people have to have a decision made when they're unconscious, for example, or they have a bad infection and it's making it, you know, impossible for them to think clearly. So having someone who can step up and make decisions for you, and it's not enough to just sort of put it in with the will. You actually have to have a conversation, because each of us wants something a little different when we think about end of life. For example, one person might say, well, of course, you know, I would want to have antibiotics. But another person who maybe had a terminal cancer would say, no, you know, if I get an infection, then that can take me. So it's not like Everyone's going to make the same decision. These are highly personal, value-based decisions, and there's not a right answer for all. Sometimes people, religion dictate that a certain decision be made. And if you're a devout observer of a particular religion, that may be a critical part of the decision-making. The durable healthcare power of attorney is a legal document. Another legal document that I really like is called Five Wishes, and that's available on the internet. If you just Google Five Wishes, it's been used by something like 40 million people, and it's translated into 30 different languages.
Wow.
And it talks a little bit about, you know, in the case where you're at the end of life, how do you want to be treated? And it goes into particular detail in five different areas. And, you know, maybe we can cover those
sure.
after you know, we get through the break.
All right. Why don't we take the break right here? Dr. Victoria Mays is with us. We're going to spend kind of a special, it is a special edition of her monthly visit with us, because normally we do two segments, a half hour or so, but we're going to do four today, four segments with Dr. Mays. There's plenty to talk about. But right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Talk about comfort food. Mona's is the place, home of the Danish Kringle. And we love all of their pastries, their breads, their organic breads. Outstanding. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They're open, I think they open, well, yeah, 6:30 in the morning. Folks are there when they open. I don't blame them. They do take Monday off, but Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. All right, we'll take our first break, then more with Dr. Victoria Mays is right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. We are on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. 790-2040 is our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Victoria Mazes, our contributor on health, the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she's also a professor of medicine and public health, is with us on the live line, and we are talking about starting a conversation about death and dying and getting all of your affairs in order. And before the break, Dr. Mazes, you were talking about advanced health care directives, and every person is going to look at this probably in a different way, correct?
I think so. And so there's a really wonderful tool that's called Five Wishes, and it goes over five broad categories that people may want to give thought to and let their loved ones know. So the first is obvious, which is the person that you want to assign to make a decision about your care if you can't make the decision. So, for example, the person I picked is actually a colleague of mine who's a doctor, because she understands medical things that can come up, and I've carefully outlined my beliefs, and I feel like she's the best person, and she was willing to do it if I should be in that situation. But it's common for people to pick their spouse, sometimes one of their adult children. You just want to be sure that you've had the conversation with them. The second item is, what kind of medical treatment do you want or do you not want? So, for example, most of us want to be comfortable, and we want to have the kind of treatment that would keep us out of pain. That's something that most people want. But things that are less clear are what we sometimes call life support. So, for example, life support can include a breathing tube where a ventilator is doing the breathing for you. Some people want that, others don't. It can include CPR. Some people want CPR if their heart stops, other people don't. It can include having a major surgery if you have the kind of health problem that requires that, or a blood transfusion, dialysis, you know, where your kidneys shut down. So this allows you to kind of specify some of the things that you want people to know that you do or don't want, depending on whether or not you're expected to recover. You know, you could be in a coma where the doctors do or don't expect you. You could have brain damage. So that allows people to kind of specify yes to this and no to that. Another one of the wishes has to do with your comfort. So as I said, most people want their pain relieved, but sometimes when your pain is relieved, you become pretty drowsy, and not everybody wants to be drowsy at the end of life. Some people want to be as alert as possible to interact with their loved ones. People may want a cool washcloth on their head, or they want, you know, they may not want to be eating or drinking, but they want their mouth to be kept moist, and we have ways to do that. They may want a bath. They may want a massage. They may want to have someone who comes and reads to them, whether it's a religious, a prayer, whether it's a poem, whether it's a song that they like. So that has to do with comfort. And then there's the fourth wish. How do you want people to treat you? So, for example, do you want your hand held? Do you want somebody there praying, or a visit by the chaplain or a clergy man or woman? Do you want to have pictures of people you love in your surroundings? Do you want to be at home? Some people want to die at home. Other people don't want to die at home. Music, again, it's really varied. What's your preferred music, or do you want silence? And then the last wish is, again, quite interesting. It's what do you want your loved ones to know? So, for example, people say, I want my loved ones to know that I forgive them or that I love them. I want them to forgive me for something that I may have done. I want them to remember me before I got sick, the way I was before I got sick. I want them to see dying as a time of personal growth. So, you know, these are such interesting things to contemplate, and they're actually quite interesting to have conversations about with the people you love.
Yeah, and it's doctors, as you know, you're trained to give care and to try to keep people alive. But many patients, in fact, I looked this up, 90% of patients with serious life-limiting illnesses report never discussing their end-of-life wishes with their physicians. I find that amazing.
Yeah, and we do have an end-of-life program in the Tucson community and probably much of Southern Arizona that focuses on training healthcare professionals, doctors and nurses and social workers to talk with people about their end-of-life wishes. You know, the other thing is you mentioned that Anne died in hospice.
Yes.
Hospice is a really wonderful service. Anyone is eligible if their life expectancy is 6 months or less. So if someone has cancer, of course, you know, Anne had very little time after her diagnosis, but sometimes you can estimate that based on someone's diagnosis, they have 6 months. Sometimes someone might say someone has a few years. So if you have 6 months or less, you're eligible. It's covered by Medicare. And most other insurance plans, it's covered in Arizona by Access, which is our Arizona healthcare cost containment system. And it allows for care in the home. It allows you to have someone come and take care of you, visit you in the home, bring you medications at home. You can call in the middle of the night because your loved one is in pain or has shortness of breath, and they'll help you manage it, or they'll come to the house if need be to assess it. So hospice is a really wonderful option. It's usually at home, although there are some inpatient, so to speak, hospices as well.
Yeah, and Anne utilized Pepe's house, and that's an arm of TMC. I have nothing but good things to say about the angels that work there and in that particular field of hospice over at Pepe's house. And one thing they also do after the loved one dies, then you've got the issue with the grieving process, and they are willing there and willing and able to help there, whether it be a group setting or kind of one-on-one counseling. And I do want to talk a little bit about grief. Everybody grieves in a different way. It's the way it is. I mean, as Anne liked to say, it is what it is. And there's no easy way through it. I've decided to just take this thing head on because it's not just grieving for Anne. There's all these other things. When you lose a spouse, you've got to deal with Social Security, the banks, and on and on. That's another reason to really get, if you're married, get your stuff in both names. It will make it a lot easier with your bank accounts. There's just a lot of paperwork that kind of gets in the way of the initial deep grief mourning process. Some of your thoughts on grief, Dr. Mazes.
Well, I'm happy to share some thoughts, but, you know, so many people don't know what to say, and as a result, they sometimes avoid the person
Yes.
who's lost a loved one. And I'm wondering, since you have been so public with the grief you're experiencing, can you say some of the things that either people said to you or did for you that were helpful?
Well, that has been one of the real blessings about being so public on social media. People have been very helpful about suggestions about counseling, and then things about just getting that don't have to make any immediate plans. The advice I've been getting. From those that have gone the path before me have been very helpful. Don't make immediate plans. My mood kind of goes up and down through the day, and people do want to help. They reach out and say, let's get together for a meal or let's do this. And I tell people, right now I'm kind of just making plans, maybe 24 hours in advance, but that's it. It just depends on the way I'm feeling. And so there's been great advice that's come through to me on social media.
Well, that's terrific. And it sounds like you're really trusting your own process, which is like not making any long-term plans, but giving your chance to feel into how you are. I think things people sometimes say are helpful, you know, are the kindnesses of other people, sometimes bringing a meal, sometimes just saying, you know, I'm available to talk whenever you may feel like talking, recognizing how hard this is. If, you know, you talked about how difficult this has been. And so having someone acknowledge how difficult it is to lose a spouse of 51 years. Sometimes people say, you know, is there anything I can do? And that's kind to ask, but in a way it puts a little bit of the burden on the person who's already struggling. So sometimes it's good to just do something, you know, write a note if it comes to you, share a memory that you have of that person who's been lost, who's died, and just, you know, show up and do something kind for the other person.
Yeah, I think we will pick up a little bit more on this. I'm not quite finished with this this topic. We were going to play this by ear for the second half of the show, but I have some more to say about this grief, and I think it would be helpful for people. So stick around, Dr. Mazes. We'll pick up on that and perhaps another topic or two right after the break. All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the live line. It's the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. Perfect time of year for start your autumn planting. Get some color in your garden. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Everything you need for the garden. And beautiful pottery at Zocalo Village. Great selection of Talavera pottery. I think it's the largest selection of Talavera pottery in the state of Arizona. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. We continue now with our discussion with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she's also a professor of medicine and public health. We are talking about death, and what I believe, talking about death is the first step to dying well. Early, honest, and ongoing conversations about life and death, I believe anyway, are essential for stopping needless suffering at the end of life. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go to the live line now, and Debbie would like to join our conversation. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi there. I have a question particularly about hospice and the living will and whatnot. For people who are very much alone, who have no remaining family of origin and no family of their own, how would one... maneuver all of this if there's nobody there?
Excellent question. Go ahead, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful question. So, you know, when people are dying and you know that their life expectancy is short, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bedridden. Bill, in your example, Anne was up and about until a few days before she died.
We were so blessed. Just a quick aside there. Things could have gone much worse. Yes, she died. It was a 10-week from diagnosis to death, but the good news is she was cognitive right up until about 2 hours before she went in to a deep, deep sleep. So we were very lucky that she was not in pain, which is just a miracle, we believe, and that she was able to communicate with us and on and on. Go ahead, Dr. Mazes.
No, it's so great that you're sharing your experience because hospice is there to support people's dying process with dignity and providing pain relief, which Anne didn't need, symptom relief, so it could be nausea, for example, or itching. You mean there are other symptoms, and so hospice helps with all of those symptoms. And the idea is to help the person really have as full a life as possible until the very end of their life. So many people do need help towards the end of their life. They may need help with bathing. They may need help with food. And all of these services can be arranged. If someone is actually bedbound or is in, you know, very bad pain where they may need intravenous therapies, then there's their hospital kind of hospice settings. So instead of being in home, which is how most people die in hospice, it's in their own home with the support of the hospice professionals. There are situations where someone goes to a facility and the hospice care is there. So someone who lives alone and, you know, needs more support would probably be able to be admitted to such a facility in the last days or weeks, depending on their needs.
Yeah, and Debbie also brings up an interesting question. She was saying she's alone. I believe she said she didn't have any relatives here in town. In a case like that, getting back to the directives, what does someone do if they maybe put a friend, a trusted friend, as their next person to contact?
That's exactly right. You do. You choose a non-family member, but someone with whom you've had the conversation so that, you know, they can represent your wishes. And, you know, lots of us become quite close to our friends, where there are, people use the term, chosen family. And sometimes when people are alone or are just far from their family, having those close friends who can step in for one another can be quite wonderful. On the other hand, there's certainly situations where perhaps you live far from your mother or father or sibling, and then if they're at the end of the life, you go to be with them. And certainly, you know, lots of people have that experience. I had that experience with my father. He died in hospice, and he lived in Florida. And, you know, I went to Florida at the end of his life to be with him. So I had visited him, you know, with regularity. But when the end came, I was there. And so hospice professionals can often tell you, oh, they estimate this person has a certain amount of time left, and give you enough of a heads up so that you can be there. And it's quite a powerful experience. I know, Bill, you in private shared with me how powerful it was for you to be at Ann's side.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I will tell you, the day Ann died, and some people may not understand this, but that day, that experience with Ann was the purest form of love that I've experienced ever in my life. Those final moments of holding Ann's hand was just, it was the most powerful experience. And then I say the day she died was actually one of the best, most wonderful days of our lives. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, I know, but when everybody's going to pass, and if Ann had, I think Hemingway called it, if it's a good death, and it was a good death, it was a good passing, and I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to William, who called us on our live line, 790-2040. And William brings up, I think he wanted to talk about near-death experiences, and they're often referred to as NDEs. And there's been a lot of research lately on this. William, go ahead. You're with Dr. Victoria Mazes.
Great subject. So on December 9th, I was hospitalized at TMC, and a few hours later, I died. And I saw my body as I was moving away from it. But as encouragement to your listeners, the experience I had was exhilarated joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first thought I had, because my mom and my children and my sister were standing there, it was, oh my gosh, I'm not going to miss them at all.
Yeah.
This is big time. I'm going to see the master. I'm going to see the Lord, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was really excited. And after that, I was shown something, and I can go into that if you'd like.
Well, no, I think we get the picture, and I'm glad you actually called, William, because there has been a lot of research on what these near-death experiences, and what you're relating is consistent with so many reports. And I do thank you, William, for calling. Dr. Mazes, any thoughts on that?
Well, I also want to thank William for sharing his experience. Often people who have had a near-death experience describe it a little like you just described Anne's death, that they're incredibly powerful, transformative, sometimes mystical experiences. And people sometimes say the most powerful experience of their whole life. Sometimes they change the trajectory of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly, having a near-death experience certainly reminds us, I would say, not to sweat the small stuff, which,
yeah,
you know, we could get caught up in.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
To think about the meaning of our life. They often, I think you could hear this, William's description, like the intensity that just stays with you, the clarity of the vividness of the memory. And so I think we still don't fully understand near-death experiences, but anyone who's had one isn't, they're not neutral about it. It's
right.
A powerful experience.
Yes, it is. We're going to keep this discussion going, Dr. Mazes. It's digging deep into a subject like this really does require an hour. Let's take a break right here. More with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Be right back again. 790-2040, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures. Join the conversation if you have some thoughts for us. Love to hear from you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This autumn, how about a getaway to the land of enchantment? Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Perfect time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Great hiking there, and of course, visiting Cliff Dwellings National Monument, great up in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And again, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue now with our discussion about death and dying, and we're talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's also a professor of medicine and health. Our live line is open. It's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Getting some good input today from listeners. 790-2040 if you would like to add to our conversation. One of the very helpful things on social media, people giving me advice on the grieving process, Dr. Mazes. People have asked me, Bill, how are you sleeping? And I tell them, you know, it just kind of goes day by day. Some days I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, can't get back to sleep. Some days 4:30. Today it was 5:30, and I felt like I'd had a really successful night's sleep. But this is an area that in the grieving process can be very, very difficult, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the one hand, we want to sleep well because it helps us manage grief. Grief can be absolutely exhausting. I don't know if that was your experience or not.
It is.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy, and people often feel exhausted. And yet, sometimes sleep is interrupted. And you know, grief is akin in some ways to depression and sadness. And sometimes people feel like they have to medicate those away. But of course, most people would say, no, you want to feel what you're feeling. You want to feel that grief. And yet, you know, sleeping a little better is going to make it easier to get through. So one of the ways that, you know, we help people is, of course, all the sleep hygiene things that many people will know something about, which is, you know, you want to not eat for a few hours before you go to sleep. You want to avoid alcohol right before you go to sleep. Even though it's a sedative, it ends up leading people to wake up often during the night and interrupt people's normal sleep architecture. You don't want to be exposed to bright lights, and that could include bright light from a television screen or your phone with shining that kind of blue light in your eyes, and it's stimulating. It wakes you up. Sometimes a warm bath before you go to bed can be helpful. We actually sleep better in rooms that are cooler, so that's hard in the summer if you don't have air conditioning. But if you have air conditioning, or of course now it is getting cooler at night, you know, make sure your room is cool and don't put too many covers on, because we sleep better in temperatures in the high 60s, actually. And then there is a very well studied form of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is designed for insomnia. And it helps come up with strategies that help people address their insomnia. There's both going to a therapist who's trained in, it's called CBTI, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. But there's also some free resources. Like, for example, the VA has put together a free app. You don't have to be a veteran. Anybody can use it. It's called Insomnia Coach. There are also some free resources that have been put online that people can access as well. Then there are some paid apps. Like, there's one called Sleepio. It's a cute name. Sleepio, and that can be helpful as well.
Let's talk about these stages of grief. Everyone's heard about, I think, the five stages of grief, or some folks say there are seven, but talk a little bit about this stages of grief, and are they in a chronological order, or like my experience has been, they're a mix. Some days I get all five.
Yeah, so these are attributed to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she first wrote about them a long time ago, back in 1969. She wrote a book. It was very popular, and when it first came out, people had the idea you had to go through them in order, and the stages are denial. That makes sense. You know, you just don't want to believe the person's died. It's hard if you actually see them die, but sometimes our loved one die across the country. There's anger. You could be angry at a family member who you think didn't do the right thing for them. You could be angry at God. It varies, but anger shows up. Bargaining, you know, where you're maybe bargaining for more time, or you're bargaining, I'll do this if only that happens. Depression, and then acceptance. And I completely agree with you. These are not necessarily linear. You could experience any one of them or all five of them in the same day. You could go backwards and forwards. But the one I find really powerful is the one that her colleague, David Kessler, came up with actually after his son died. His 21-year-old son died. And he was, of course, in terrific grief after the loss of his son. He had been writing and doing research together with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross for years, and he basically said those five stages are not enough. There needs to be more, and the more that he came up with was making meaning. So finding a way to have meaning in the loss, meaning in the grief, meaning in the person's life, and to really walk through that stage as well.
Yeah, and then we haven't talked about gratitude. I know it's, I'm trying when I wake up, that seems to be the worst time of the day for me, waking up realizing this is not a bad dream, it's reality, and it's not going to be coming back through the door, even though I feel her presence. But I've been trying to think, what can I be, when I wake up first thing in the morning, try to think of one thing that I am very filled with gratitude for.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big ask of yourself, Bill. And you know, I mean, I hear it in some of what you've said today on the program. I hear it in having had a lifetime love affair. I hear it in having had a wondrous experience with the day of her death in the hospice and with the support you had in all of the trips to 100 countries. So, you know, I hear in the things you've said that there's actually a lot that you feel grateful for, but, you know, that doesn't mean that the sadness, the pain isn't going to show up too.
And let's face it, this is a very couples kind of centric world that we live in. Even though I did a little research on this, as many as 40% of the residents of Pima County live alone.
So people don't necessarily have, you know, that one person to turn to. You mentioned earlier that you had gone, I believe, to a grief support group.
Yes.
Was that a helpful thing?
In my particular case, it just didn't, it wasn't something that I felt was going to help me. Mm-hmm. So I do better in kind of a one-on-one situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because every day here on the radio, I talk to people one-on-one. I was more comfortable, and I am more comfortable in a one-on-one rather than with, in this particular case, there were over a dozen people. And it just didn't resonate with me. Everybody has a different way of looking at this, and it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah, well, I so appreciate your saying that. I think that it's really great to try different things out, and, you know, good for you for going. And then if it wasn't the right thing for you, then you move on and you say, you know, what else might work for me? There are, for some people, grief support groups, whether in person or online, are great. And maybe you're doing that in a sense online with the social media and the support that you're getting from all of the people who follow you.
Yeah. Well, I one thing that I wanted to return to and only have a few seconds, I am so glad that at the center, the Weill Center for Integrative Medicine, that young doctors are really looking at these, that you guys are training, these end-of-life issues. This is so important.
I agree. And I also want to say that it may sound like it's difficult or depressing, but it actually opens the door to very rich conversation about what matters most to people.
Yes.
And so often it's the opposite of depressing. You walk away feeling like, I just had a really important conversation about something that matters so very much to that other person, and you feel honored. You sometimes feel inspired. So I really want to encourage all of the listeners to embark on, whether it's the five wishes, whether it's a durable power of attorney for healthcare, whether it's a living will. We didn't mention there's something called an ethical will, where you share your values and your legacy. I mean, these are very rich conversations.
Very, very true. Out of time. Great conversation, Dr. Mazes. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.